You know, this journey that we've been on in the last while, we've been at Bethel now just over a year. It was September 26th that we joined you here in this congregation as your pastor. We have endeavored to teach and to preach the Word of God in a way that we can all understand and grasp it. And yet, on the other hand, I think that there's been a focus that God has helped us, and not just in fact, I'm going to say it like this: in almost 40 years of ministry, next year it'll be 40 years for me. Shannon joined us early on in that era. I don't think I have ever done this kind of a service, a vision casting in our entire ministry. This is totally new. This is something that we've always had vision, we've always had direction, but I felt like and feel like that we've just had a piece, bits and pieces throughout our ministry. And I like that pieces because it seems to me that all these pieces, they come together. Whenever you talk about pieces, you think about a puzzle. And God has been putting this puzzle together. And we've just been seeking the Lord. And in fact, I think it was Tuesday night, I wasn't sleeping, and the Lord was just kind of rolling out some things all night long and some scriptures and songs. And I'm going, after a while, I went, Lord, I really love you, but I really need to have some sleep. Anybody like that? And anyway, I feel like, in fact, I've looked at my wife and I see things very differently.
He's a man and I'm a woman.
She functions on both sides of her brain. I only function on half of it.
At one time.
At one time.
Yes.
I was going to say
both,
that.
They both still function, one at a time.
Yeah, but, you know, I go back and forth and, you know, and we really do see things a little bit differently. And her way of things are so different. And some of this was part of my thinking process during the night. And all of a sudden, I got new sight. Got new sight. Sorry, I just got new sight. I got new glasses. I got new glasses. And I begin to see her perspective and mine. And I begin to see how God was putting the pieces together. And I've got a keeper here. And my dad says that to me all the time. She's a keeper. And what we have done throughout this last while is, as I say, we've got fragments and little bits and pieces that I begin to do a little bit of research and a little bit of study, and then the next thing I know, my son is talking about the vision and purpose and mission, and after having done HCN or Healthy Church Network, they've led us through all of that too. And we sat down with my two sons, actually, a couple of times, and just begin to mull over what this vision and purpose purpose, vision, and mission look like. And as we begin to write it down, because the Bible says to write it down. Now, you've seen our new logo now. I'll say it like this. This is the first time that I've ever seen in a logo you have the work of the Father, you have the work of the Son, and you have the work of the Holy Spirit in the house. And we're rather excited about that. But today you're going to hear a little bit about the story of what got us to this point. You're going to see the pieces being put together. And And my wife is going to jump in at any time to help us. Just because we say things differently, okay, and people learn differently. My two sons are not alike. One's very visual, and yet one, he can hear it, and what can I say? And what we've discovered in all of this, in looking at our purpose, I'm not going to tell you what the whole purpose is. I'm just going to tell you where it came from for now. And what we found is that the first part of it has to do with the Great Commission. And actually, that's the Great Commandment. And the Great Commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Am I falling apart? Now, some of you will remember the four chairs. This here, remember, I don't know when I was explaining this, this is a car. And this car is called the Vision. It's a 2019 model. Okay? And in this, in the driver's seat, is relationship. The whole ministry is based on relationship. Our relationship to God, it's based on the Great Commandment. Okay? The relationship with God and the relationship with other people. This must be foremost in all we do. It has to be the central part of everything that Bethel does. Over here, we have worship. Now, I love worship. I'm a worshiper. I know worship is important. But worship by itself is nice music. It's performance. It's nice shows. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There are lots of congregations that do that. Okay? But our focus is not worship. The focus has to be on the one we are worshiping first. And then as we worship God, we work to serve other people.
The Bible says that we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And sometimes what interferes with that true worship can be because we have something wrong in a relationship, that we have something that's not right in our heart. So when that's not right, and I'm not right with my brother or my sister, then that's going to interfere with my true worship. So relationship has to come first, God and others.
And also in that worship is also our giving. Because, see, giving is also part of our worship. In fact, the Bible says it like this. If we have aught against our brother, we leave our gift. We go and first be reconciled, and then we come and offer our gift. That's how important this relationship is. Back here is administration and programs.
Can I talk about administration?
Sure.
I'm going to talk about administration because I'm kind of strong in that. And in years gone by, I thought it was really important that we, you know, get things going and plan things and make things happen and plan it all out. And over this past year, the Lord has made those first, the driver's seat and the front passenger seat, so important in my life, that it has changed the way I view all the things I have to do or want to do or should do. And when our relationship with God is right and when we worship Him, then the gifts that He gives us, we naturally want to offer to serve others. And so I've changed the way I look at my gifts, and that when that's right, then I can serve with the right attitude. I used to be very bitter against people who didn't do this and didn't do that, and they didn't come up and they didn't finish this, and they should have done that. And I lived in that all the time. It was so bitter and condemning. But when our relationship is right and God's speaking to our heart and we're keeping it right with one another, then we can serve with our gift.
So what happens if there is a, let's say that there is a youth program and they have a pizza party and they have pop and they have chips and all that kind of thing, and they make a big mess? Then people get together and say, oh, we need to kick out that youth pastor. He messed up the church. So administration begins to take the driver's seat. And administration begins to try and solve some things and do some things that may break apart relationships. Okay. Very important to see. Our relationship with God and our relationship with people is key to seeing a move of God. Okay.
And then programs. Programs are things that we offer to minister to others. Like, I know when we first came to Bethel, there was, you know, when are you going to start a Sunday school program? And we had several children left, and we had one little boy that was here, and I wrestled with God. I said, God, what do we do? Because I've always done children's ministry. What do we do? What do we do? And I just felt the Lord, he just kept saying to us, just hold steady, hold steady. You need to get to know your people. You need to get to know what's going on here. We need to communicate. We need to love one another. We need to minister to one another. And so programs, the things we do and offer, again, has to come from a heart that wants to serve someone else. And I just see little by little that God is going to just raise up servants in this house. Bethel is a house of servants. We were overwhelmed when we first came here, that everyone had a place to serve. And I believe going forward, as the Lord brings more and more people to Bethel, that we're going to do that. We're going to be willing and able to serve in many capacities.
So because we love God, and first of all, God loved us, but because we love God, the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts motivates us to work for him. So the second part of purpose is the Great Commission. Jesus said it like this: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's an interesting statement, because regardless of what they look like, smell like, or even have desires that are different from us, it just says every creature. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when it comes time to vision, vision is the part that drives the purpose. When you understand the purpose, vision helps bring the, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, that's good. It drives the purpose. It's the starting, but it all starts in the heart. Vision is the ability to see and articulate where God wants us to go or what God wants us to do in a given situation. Vision refers to a future state or condition that does not presently exist. It is the beginning point for leading the journey. Vision, focus, and vision inspires. True vision calls, it summons, and it pulls us forward. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Without a vision, the people perish. I have new vision. Now, I told you that Tuesday night I got new glasses. When I look at you, I ought to see you through the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And I would submit to you this, that I'm not the only one that needs a renewed vision, but together, the body of Christ, it's called a body for a reason, because none of us have the whole by ourselves. But when you put the whole together, we all have vision that's clear, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we've written it down. You'll see it later. We've written it down. But I'm asking the Lord not just to give you a presentation of stuff, because then it becomes just knowledge. I'm asking the Lord to give you new, fresh vision, that your eyeglasses will be changed. I'm not talking about the natural spectacles, of course. I'm talking about the spectacles of the Spirit. Glory to God. When we were at conference, they showed us a train. And I thought about using these chairs as an example, but there were four cars on this train. Four cars on this train. They all had different names that were part of the package that the church sought after. What they were missing, the first picture, what they were missing was the engine. The engine is the Holy Spirit. Without the power of God, it is just stuff. We must have the Holy Spirit to flow in this. Praise the Lord. He's the one that is the oil that makes this car run. Without the oil, well, you know what happens. When you don't have oil in an automobile, I had a friend of mine tried to run a tractor without oil. I'll tell you what, she wasn't good. She wasn't good. But I'll tell you, you get the oil of the Holy Spirit. You get the energizing, sustaining power of God. He will help you see clearly, and He will help us to articulate where God wants us to go. Praise the Lord. That's true vision. It will call us, it will summon us, it will pull us forward. Praise God.
Now, some people kind of choke on the vision because part of it is referring to the future state or a condition that does not presently exist. And when we share our vision downstairs later after dinner, I just want to clarify. There are a lot of things that already exist here at Bethel.
Yeah.
We're not saying that we don't have anything now and we're going to start from scratch. No. No, this is just, we're writing it down so we can always stay focused on the direction that God wants to take us. And that no matter every decision that we make, we always go back and we look it up and we say, okay, does it go with this? Is this what God is directing based on what we've written down? But at the same time, and I've said to people sometimes, God doesn't want us to get too comfortable. And it's really easy, the older I get, to get really comfortable in things. And I don't want to try something new. And that's too much of a challenge. And that's too difficult. And how are we going to do that? And so that is the challenge. And that's why we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. I can't do this. We can't do this on our own. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us every day and as He leads us. So He's always pushing us, challenging us, to keep going, to push forward, to try something different, to do something new. And he's always there to give us what we need as we do that.
He is indeed. Praise the Lord. So, the vision drives the purpose. But what drives the vision? And the mission is something that's really interesting, because the mission tells us why we do exist. She loves this part.
I have to tell you this story. Just about it probably was the Sunday after we were voted in last September, we were driving home, and I had said to Ron, I said, well, what does Bethel mean anyway, the name Bethel? And so we began to look it up. And Bethel, or Beth-El, means house of God. Now, the Bible states that in the Bible, it was one of the main worship centers. It's where Abraham built an altar to God. It was where the Lord spoke and revealed himself to Jacob. People often went there to seek God during times of trouble. And God often sent prophets to preach and live there. And I just got so excited. Something just leapt in me. And so we've never been able to let go of that. And that's why part of our logo is the house. Now, God does not live in this building. Did anybody think God lived in the building? We used to think God lived in a building, but he lives in us. And that's the good news now. And that's what's so exciting, that you are now the house of God, the place where the Holy Spirit dwells.
And that house actually is quite imperfect, by the way. When you look at the logo, it's not just
not square. If you were trying to cut drywall and fit that in there, yeah, you'd have quite a time, because we're not perfect. But when we have the power of the cross and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, then what happens next is God, it's El Bethel, God of the house. He wants to be God of us.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because have you made God of your house? And you know what's interesting is that comes by invitation. And you can make that invitation right now, or you can make it later on in the service, or you can make it in your home. But you have to decide whether God is going to be God of your house. I'm not talking about the house you live in. I'm talking about this earthly house. And that is the key to all of this. God desires to have a relationship with you.
The Most High doesn't live in temples made by human hands, according to Acts 7:48. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And then I love this. This is from the Message Bible. And you'll probably hear us using this a lot in the coming months. But God is love. And when we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. That's this way, love has the run of the house. I love that. Love has the run of the house. God's love. So that is our mission, to be a place in our own personal hearts and lives where God dwells, where that's the most important thing to us, is that God dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. And then we will
see God through his lenses. Yeah. You can see God through his set of eyes, through his lenses. The love of God. Receiving the love of God. Let's just take a moment in the presence of God and just commit ourselves afresh to him. Thank you, Jesus. You may need to have a little talk with him to surrender your life afresh. Maybe you've never done it before. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you need to talk to the Lord about some of the relationships that you have. The Lord just wants you to clean them up, get them fixed. We come to you, Heavenly Father. Search our hearts and see if there be something in us that is not right. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Thank you, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we make our relationships right. Those with family, those with friends, those with acquaintance in different areas. In Jesus' name, we honor you today with surrendering our lives afresh to you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask the men to come and to help us with the communion, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing love. Doesn't matter. Love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be
my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King, Jesus. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says he took the bread and he blessed it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We're remembering what Jesus did on the cross for us. Wounded for our transgression. Bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Let's partake of the bread together.
You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor in all I do. I honor you.
Just before we take the cup and we remember his shed blood, the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. If you need healing this morning, would you just stand right where you are, or you can stand in for someone else. I know Diane's here today and her husband needs a touch from God. He's had a heart attack and he's having issues with his heart and his stent. So Diane, if you feel free to just stand, some ladies will just pray around about you. But if you stand this morning, if you or someone you know needs prayer, then someone around you will gather and pray. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins, and by his stripes that he bore in his body, we are healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Would you just reach out and pray for someone that's nearby you there.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just we thank you, God. We lift these needs up to you today, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing is impossible with you. You've already paid the price.
Thank you, Lord.
You took it on your body on that cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
For us. And so we stand in the health that you have given us, God. We declare your healing touch, Father, to these bodies and these minds, whatever is needed, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the power of your blood and the stripes that you bore for us. We pray, Father, that your healing would come upon these people in Jesus' name. And we will praise you and we will thank you. We love you, Lord.
You.
We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let
thank
your kingdom
Jesus.
Resources. Let
thank
your kingdom
you,
resources come to
thank
these needs
Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm going to ask the singers and the musicians to come and help us with this. We'll sing the whole song, glory to God. We're forgiven. We're forgiven, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to Jesus. We praise your name. We praise you, Lord, for your loving kindness. It's good to be in your house, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we fellowship together one with the other downstairs, thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, be with those that cannot stay, that need to go. I ask, Lord, do you bless them, and they're rising up, and they're sitting down, and they're going out, and they're coming in. And may your love be imparted to them in a way that they have never known, and they will see it. In Jesus' name, amen.